These are the ones who have survived a time of great distress, and they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I've mentioned several times that I was born in 1957, right before Vatican II. Council between 62 and 65. So consequently, I was in CCD around those years of the council, immediately following the council. We still had nuns teaching CCD then. And I remember them giving all the students, giving myself a bracelet. The bracelet said, "In case of emergency, call a priest. Call a priest. Not a doctor. Not your mom. Call a priest. In case of emergency, call a priest." You see, the mindset back then was, as it is today, actually, in the church, serious about life, serious about death, serious about our eternal reward, heaven and hell. In case of emergency, call a priest. Still good advice, although we don't put bracelets on kids anymore like that. Still good advice for anyone who is near death, anyone who is in trouble. For you see, there are four last things all of us will encounter. Each and every one of us will have these options, two of which are non-options. First is death. Death comes for us all. So Jesus tells us plainly, be prepared. Be prepared, for you do not know the day nor the hour. How are we to be prepared? In holiness. We're called to be holy. We're called to live this life like the saints. For immediately after death, we'll encounter judgment. We will all be meeting Jesus face to face. And at that time, He will be judging us. He's the only one who can. I'm reminded of an incident I had as a seminarian. I first came to the Diocese of Peoria 20-some years ago. My first assignment was at St. Pius X in Rock Island. It was 2 days after Christmas. Then Father Boyle received a telephone call. There was a tragedy in the parish. A mother, father just lost their son in a car accident. He was driving around Rock Island with his cousins at night. And if you don't know Rock Island, Rock Island has a lot of gullies everywhere. And he went off into a gully and was killed. And so the pastor took me along to go over to the family. I sat next to the mother, and she kept saying to me over and over again, "Tell me my son is in heaven. Tell me my son is in heaven." I was fresh out of seminary. I had all this theological training in the back of my mind. And I prayed. I didn't know what to say to her. And I said to her the truth. I said, "I don't know, but we can hope he is." I didn't know. You don't know. Nobody knows the judgment of Jesus. Jesus is the judge, not myself. All of us, again, will stand before Him, and He will be a just judge, but also a merciful judge. And what is the criteria of judgment? Well, mercifully, He has told us ahead of time. It's like getting a test that you've been already told the answers to on Friday, getting a test on Monday. What is the test over? Our acts of kindness. Jesus tells us and plainly in chapter 25 how the end of the world will be and what the criteria of judgment will be. Did you feed the poor? Give drink to the thirsty? Did you clothe the naked? Did you visit those who were ill or in prison? In short, did you go out of yourself to help others? For to those who do such things, He opens up the gates of heaven. He's telling us ahead of time. Two acts of kindness. What's the criteria for damnation? Is it particular wickedness? No. But it is particular selfishness. For He tells us plainly, those who do not do those things will not inherit eternal life. So, after judgment is heaven and hell. Heaven is the place Jesus has gone before us to prepare. And there we celebrate with the saints, those who have gone before us through this world, doing a particular act. They have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. Kind of an odd thing to say, isn't it? How can blood of a lamb make you pure? Well, that blood of the lamb, of course, is mystically Jesus. It's His blood on the cross that was shed for us. This is the vision of St. John on the island of Patmos from the book of Revelation. He is witnessing the Mass spiritually. He sees on the altar of God the lamb who was slain but now is living. And that blood of the lamb is what washes us clean from sin. So we come to ask the Lord for His blood to wash us clean spiritually. We do that primarily going to confession. That's the blood that can wash away mortal sin, venial sins. We ask the blood of Christ on us at the beginning of every Mass in the Confiteor. Lord, I am not worthy. Forgive me my sins. I am in need of grace. I am in need of Your help. Help me to be a saint. Now, St. Thomas Aquinas was asked once, how do I become a saint? And he simply said, will it? Will it? You have to decide on holiness. Now, it's not that we can earn our way into heaven. Please, don't interpret what I just said as a Pelagian heresy. Pelagian said that we can get to heaven by our good works alone. And the Church has always condemned that. It's by the grace alone of Jesus Christ that we are saved, that we are redeemed, that we become saints, that we're called to this great holiness. And that holiness begins now in this world. So immediately after death, we have judgment. Immediately after judgment, we will know whether we're going to heaven or hell. And we'll also know that that verdict is just. There'll be no complaining, because we know who gives the judgment is the one who knows us intimately. But how about those who aren't quite prepared to go to heaven, but are not bad enough to go to hell? How about those souls in purgatory? You know, yes, the Church still teaches this. I'm reminded of an incident. I think I told you this before. My last assignment, I had a wedding party, most of whom were from Chicago. They came out to the country in Anawan in Henry County. On a Saturday afternoon, we had the wonderful wedding. I must have mentioned during the prayers the souls in purgatory, because after Mass, one of the wedding bridesmaids came in to the sacristy, thanked me for the Mass, and said, "Oh, Father, I got to correct you on something." It was kind of sweet, because you're just a country pastor. You really don't know these things that they're teaching in the big city, you know. Let me help you out here, Father. I said, "Well, what's that?" She goes, "Well, the Church no longer teaches on purgatory." I said, "Is that right?" She says, "Yes." I said, "Well, why does the new catechism have a section on purgatory then?" She goes, "It does?" I said, "Yes, it does." Purgatory is still very real. It's for those who have not prepared themselves for heaven by getting rid of our venial sins here in this world, by getting rid of our faults, our failings, by not striving to use the blood of the Lamb to make us holy. So we do have this intermediate state. It's on the way to heaven. All those who are in purgatory are going to heaven. They cannot lose heaven. But it is a place of great pain mixed with great joy.
It's a mysterious type of place. They can pray for us, but they can't pray for themselves. And we can pray for them. That's why I always insist on putting those souls in purgatory into my prayers, hoping conversely that they're going to be praying for me. Huh? So let us remember these souls. Feast day is tomorrow, the poor souls in purgatory. Today we have the celebration of all the saints. Let us remember what they have done for us. That it is possible to be holy in this world. It really is to be good. These saints have done it through the grace of Jesus Christ. This is why I like using the first Eucharistic prayer that incorporates all those early martyrs, those who died, those who have shed their blood for the Lamb. The early church say, hey, we've got to remember these people. They've done it right. We need their intercessions to help us do it right. So as we continue with this Mass, let us pray for ourselves. We'll have a desire of holiness, a desire for heaven. But let us also remember so many have lost this desire or have never heard of it. They haven't really thought this all through. They're just living for this world from day to day to day. So let us pray for the many who have no idea of judgment, have no idea that the consequences of their actions in this world will be scrutinized in the next.